All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rinkwide Vancouver. Late game heroics from former Coyote Connor Garland leads the Vancouver Canucks to a 2-1 win in Arizona. This is Rinkwide Vancouver, and we're broadcasting remotely on this podcast. Usually, we're in our Rinkwide studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel, and if you're looking for meeting rooms or conference space in downtown Vancouver, consider the Wall Center. From executive and staff retreats to full-size conventions and everything in between, they've got conference and convention space to meet all your needs, and it all starts with an email, sales@wallcenter.com. Jeff Patterson joined once again by Irfan Ghaffar, and Irf, the Canucks dominated everywhere except on the scoreboard. Without a doubt, the better team down in the desert, but man, oh man, they made it close on themselves, but in the end, there was Connor Garland to torch his former team.
Yeah, to be completely honest, Jeff, a 2-1 score for the Vancouver Canucks against the Arizona Coyotes. I think me, you, many, a lot of other people that watch this will agree that game kind of sucked, to be completely honest. But in the end, it's not, if you don't win pretty, it doesn't really matter. The Canucks get the W. Connor Garland in against his former team. Rick Tocchet, obviously, the storyline there, coaching against, you know, his former team that he coached. So a lot of interesting storylines to follow. I'm sure we'll dive into them all. But yeah, a really not so entertaining 2-1 hockey game as the Vancouver Canucks end up winning this one.
Well, the Canucks weren't very good in Vegas. We documented that on our last episode of Rinkwide. So it was a question of bouncing back. And again, we saw this against Anaheim on the weekend, where the Canucks should have been able to put an inferior opponent away. Goal scoring remains an issue, except for Quinn Hughes, who had two in Sin City, and he follows it up. But it looked like his goal might be the only goal of this hockey game. And Quinn is also in on the Connor Garland winner. Just some magic. I mean, we've seen it so often from the captain, but just dangling, had all the Coyotes chasing them around and ultimately able to get a shot that went wide. And then Connor Garland scooping it in off the end boards. Man, the boards were lively at Mullet Arena. We saw a bunch of bounces throughout the hockey game, but Connor Garland on the spot from a sharp angle, able to snap it home past Connor Ingram. But again, another really solid night from Quinn Hughes, up to 16 goals now. And that assist on the Garland winner, his 70th helper of the season.
Yeah. I mean, what else can we say about the guy? Puts in a masterful performance every single night. He's one of, if not the most consistent hockey player for the Vancouver Canucks. Logs the most minutes, you know, every single night. I mean, if JT Miller is the heartbeat of this team, what's Quinn Hughes? To be completely honest, right? I mean, I think the conversation obviously needs to be had, but what a season, you know, he's having, and, you know, just puts the team on his back. We talked about who's the player that's going to grab the game and then drive them into the fight. And It's been Quinn Hughes, right? It really has been. So good for the Canucks, you know, the captain leading by example. And I think that that's something that you want to see. But the stuff that he had on the tying goal was, you saw people from the East Coast media tweeting about it and everyone just tweeting the video of the dazzling performance. He does that almost nightly. And I think that that's one of the things that when we look back at this season and say, that's one of the reasons why he's going to win the Norris Trophy.
Well, and we're at a point in time now. I mean, the Canucks themselves have tweeted out that it's award season, right? Yeah. And they want fans voting. And I've seen a healthy debate online. There are still, you know, there's a sizable camp that says, hey, JT Miller's the leading scorer. He is the MVP of this hockey club. I've firmly been in the Quinn Hughes camp all season long. And I know it was a losing cause, but the two goals in Vegas, the effort was there from the captain. And then it backs it up with a performance like this one. I still think when all is said and done, now it is a fan vote. And in some ways, that's a popularity contest. The fans have been behind JT Miller all season. And you can't go wrong if that's your choice. But I just think the way that Quinn Hughes continues to tilt the ice and do the things that he does as a defenseman. It's funny, too, because he's up to 16 goals now. Since the turn of the millennium, so we're going back almost a quarter century now, Ed Jovanovski is the only other guy that has scored at this rate as a defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks. Jovo Cup had 17 goals back in 2001-2002, and so it's been a long time since a defenseman has been able to put up this kind of number when it comes to goals from a blue liner. And Quinn Hughes now six games to go. I mean, we said it after the Vegas game. Like, he's up to 15, and he still had some time to add to that total. He did that in this game. And look, it's the 50th time this season the Vancouver Canucks have opened the scoring. That's been their secret sauce. Now, again, early in the year, they would score first and add to it again and pull away from opponents and not leave them hanging around. We've seen that a little bit more from the Canucks, and we saw it against Anaheim on Sunday. There have been other examples as well. The first 40 minutes, I mean, the shots were 17-4 in the second period for the Vancouver Canucks. Through two periods, the shots were 24-7. Like, Arizona had no business being in this hockey game, and yeah, it was back-to-back for the Vancouver Canucks. Didn't like the third period necessarily from a territorial standpoint. And as much as we're lauding all this praise on Quinn Hughes, Quinn's in the penalty box twice, including the Dylan Gunther goal. And, you know, wouldn't you know, the guy that ends up being the first round pick in the Connor Garland and OEL trade. I mean, he looks like a good one. He's a top 10 pick. And, you know, I mean, could the Canucks have used him? Absolutely. But they made the deal and looks like Arizona's got a good one. Dylan Gunther, 13 goals now. And I don't know what you did. Like, that power play goal looked a lot like Jamie Benn's goal that was the winner against the Canucks last week when Dallas was in town. That sort of down low bang bang play, and something the Canucks are going to have to keep an eye on. Vegas torched them for a pair of power play goals. Arizona's only goal of this hockey game comes with a man advantage as well. So certainly something to keep an eye on as the Canucks work closer and closer to the playoffs. Going to have to find a way to dial up the penalty kill. They're going to face better opponents than the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, I think that's the secret right now. And if you look at it from an opposing team standpoint, if what's the book and what's the film say on the Canucks on their PK, as you get a body in front of the net or you get a body somewhere in that soft area, more often than not, you can make that play happen, right? I mean, we saw it with Jamie Benn, obviously. We saw it with Dylan Gunther. So, and it's the Canucks are going to have to correct that before they get into the playoffs. You look at their potential opponents and guys that are big, bruising guys that can play those positions. The defenseman's got to get those guys out of the way. Nikita Zadorov's a big guy. Tyler Myers is a big guy. Like, there should be no one coming in front of Thatcher Demko or Casey DeSmith or on this night, Artur Silovs, right? But I think when you look at it, you know, as a whole, the penalty kill needs to improve. The power play, obviously better. They did score against the Arizona Coyotes, so that improves a little bit. I agree with you, Jeff. I think the biggest thing for other teams watching is that soft spot right in the middle, and then that's such an easy play for other teams to do.
Well, there's a lot of talking points that I want to get to. I know it was a low-scoring game, and in fact, both the Canucks games against Arizona this year have been 2-1 wins for Vancouver. I don't want people to get too fired up, but there's still one more meeting to come in Vancouver next week. The Coyotes are coming this way. But again, you know, a win is a win for the Vancouver Canucks on a night when the Oilers imploded in Dallas and lost 5-0 to the Stars, who are absolutely on fire. We were just talking about Jamie Benn, 8 straight wins for the Dallas Stars, but more importantly is the fact that the Oilers lose and the Canucks win. So, you know, this is a good night on the scoreboard at Mullet Arena, but a good night on the out-of-town scoreboard as well. And with those two results, the Canucks pull 7 points back in front of the Edmonton Oilers. Canucks have 6 games to go. The Oilers have 8, but time is running out, and the Oilers probably can't afford more than one more outright loss, and they've still got a tough schedule. So this is a big night. In fact, this might be the night, ultimately, that the Vancouver Canucks clinch that top spot in the Pacific Division. They haven't locked it up just yet, but they get 2 points. Edmonton gets none, and so good results on the scoreboard. Los Angeles, meanwhile, was a winner against the Seattle Kraken, so the Kings pull a little bit closer to the Vegas Golden Knights and to the Edmonton Oilers as well. So those are the games that mattered on the out-of-town scoreboard, but the one that we're talking about is a 2-1 victory for the Vancouver Canucks, and as I said, lots of talking points. Want to talk about Artur Szilas, we'll get to that. Want to talk about the lineup that Rick Tocchet iced, because certainly some surprises about who was in and who was out. But let's talk about what I thought was a key moment in this hockey game. And, you know, again, people are wondering, like, is this team faltering down the stretch? You know, who's the spark plug? We mentioned JT Miller. EP40 got rocked by Jack McBain.
Yep.
We don't see that very often. And on a power play as well. Like, I think Pettersson was surprised as much as anything. He was okay. I mean, he hopped back up and stayed in the hockey game, obviously, was still out there on the power play. But we don't see EP40 get stood up like that and then knocked down. And, you know, good for JT Miller. Like, reads the room. You got to come to the defense of a teammate. And I thought he, you know, some veteran savvy on his part. A lot of times in that situation, when you're exacting revenge for a teammate that's getting pummeled or hit hard, you're the guy that's going to take the instigator. And JT kind of stalked his prey a little bit, followed him around the ice, you know, didn't drop the gloves and go right after him. They had their scrap. It wasn't much of a fight, but I thought, you know, okay, good for JT. I think, you know, there was some thought that went into that so that he didn't get the instigator. You know, they squared up and both got 5 minutes for fighting.
Yeah. He didn't have to jump a guy, which was the important thing. And, you know, he talked to him and obviously McMahon decided that, you know what, all right, well, I guess I got to do this. And, you know, good for JT Miller. I do agree with you on that, standing up for a guy like Elias Pettersson. It's funny because you mentioned Elias Pettersson getting right back up. The broadcast showed him kind of looking up at the jumbo, or not, maybe not a jumbotron there at Mullet Arena, but looking at the screen at the arena and then smiling. I wonder if that, they were showing the replay of the hit, because he did get crushed pretty good. But again, just a camaraderie thing, a teammate thing. I think that'll go a long way. And there was a lot of talk about those two players specifically among, you know, local media and other NHL circles. But good for JT Miller. I mean, that's one of the things you do as a leader of this team, especially when your younger star player maybe isn't playing his best hockey and, you know, is just trying to find his game once again and gets absolutely crushed. You stand up for him. So I full credit to JT Miller for going and doing that.
Yeah, and look, Pettersson got the second assist on the Quinn Hughes opener. So at least he's on the scoreboard. I know, again, people are expecting these massive games, and maybe one will come. But at least he figured in the scoring, and he had gone 4 games without a point. And so it was nice to at least see his name on the score sheet. But more than that, it was him just popping back up after taking a hit. He's going to have to get involved physically come playoff time. You hope that he's not on the receiving end of those kind of hits. And just back to Mullet Arena for a sec. Yeah, I don't think it's a jumbotron. I think that's it's just a flat screen that they bought out of the back of a van somewhere from somebody driving around the Phoenix area. Whatever the case, their only visit to the Mullet this season, and they pull out the victory, and we'll move on to Los Angeles for a game on Saturday night against the Kings. All right, to Artur Szilas, who wasn't busy, and as we said, faced just 7 shots in the first 2 periods, but then the Coyotes were able to ramp things up, helped by a couple of power plays in that third period. But what a sequence when Logan Cooley just walked Carson Soucy early in the period. Puck was loose, Gunther was there. How did he miss? I think J.J. Moser was in the area. The save that Szilas made on Michael Kesselring, who had pinched in from the right point late in the second period. Great pass, snap pass from Clayton Keller, who is so dangerous. He's their leading scorer. But every time he's got the puck, you just think that something's going to happen for that Arizona Hockey Club. Keller spots Kesselring moving in on the right side, and Szilas moving from his right to his left, got across there. I thought that was his best save of the night.
I agree.
And at that point, I thought, hey, maybe this is going to preserve the shutout. They got the one on him on the power play, and there wasn't much he could do there. But, you know, backs up a solid performance against Anaheim, and he got the win in his first game of the season in the NHL. And all of a sudden, Artur Szilas 2-0. So, you know, again, not busy, but there were some moments there in that third period where in a tight hockey game where they needed him to come up big, and he delivered.
Yeah, calm. Like I said after the Anaheim game, Jeff, calm, cool, and collected, right? He's not panicky in there, and I think that that's the one thing where you look at for a backup goalie sometimes to even have that, but your third-string guy that's playing in the American Hockey League, and even before making that start against the Anaheim, hadn't played since, I believe it was March 9th. So, it was a long time coming before he made his start. So credit to him for, one, staying in game shape and being ready to go, but two, just being there in your mind and having that wherewithal to know, what's going on around you and being very engaged in the hockey game. So I give full marks to him. I mean, the Canucks don't win this game without him.
All right. The other storyline, and we kind of got wind of this in the warm-up when Pia Suter wasn't out there. So Pia Suter, a healthy scratch for the first time, missed a chunk of games early in the season with injury, but has been there, has been playing, in the top six, has been part of power play one. People have been pulling out their hair about how he's maintained his spot in the first unit power play. He wasn't on any power plays in this hockey game because he wasn't in uniform. So a bit of a bold move from Rick Tocchet. And I think certainly a message sent. We heard the comments after the game last night where he said, there's four or five guys that have to get going. I think we all took that to mean Elias Pettersson. But look, Pia Suter is not a big, strong, physical guy who engages the opponents. He's a cerebral player who, when he's on his game, can fill a lot of holes for the Vancouver Canucks, but offense hasn't been there for him. And in fact, he hasn't scored in nine games. The last goal he scored was the 5-0 goal in that 5-0 win over the Winnipeg Jets. So not exactly crunch time in that one. And before then, hadn't scored since before the All-Star break. Remember, he had a hat trick against St. Louis Blues. So kind of funny to see this guy that can't buy a goal now, but he did have a 3-goal game in late January. Whatever the case, Pia Suter comes out of the lineup. So Nils Amon gets back in there. We weren't surprised, I don't think, that Archdeep Baines was sat down. But the other surprise was not only did Mark Friedman play and did they go with seven defensemen, but Mark Friedman played and Noah Juulsen didn't when we thought that Ian Cole, who was on the ice for 5 goals and happened to be on the ice for the only Coyotes goal. So it hasn't been a great road trip for the veteran Ian Cole, but he stayed in the lineup where we thought maybe some load management, and Noah Juulsen remained on the outside looking in. So some curious decisions, some surprises by Rick Tocchet. I think a little message sending here as well.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of everything like you just mentioned, Jeff. I mean, no question that Archdeep Baines probably wasn't going to play. Pia Suter, at one point we were talking about him being the bumper guy on PP1, and now he finds himself in the press box at Mullet Arena watching the game. So that's another one. And yes, I do agree. When Rick Tocchet did say four or five guys need to be better, we all thought it was Elias Pettersson, and it probably was. He was included in that group, but you can bet that Pia Suter was there as well. Mark Friedman, that's the interesting one. It wasn't about getting him in, just getting him a game, maybe a little bit of that. I'm not entirely sure, but here's the one thing that I pose to you, Jeff, is you think Rick Tocchet, saw the way that Ian Cole played the other night. He's on the ice for 5 goals against. He knows he's a veteran in this league. He knows he needs to be better. Instead of sitting him out the next game, and he's already down on himself, they lost the game, it was an important game, you put him right back in, and you hope he can correct it all against a team that they should beat, and they eventually did, and that was the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, look, Tocchet and Cole have a long history going back to cup wins in Pittsburgh. I get that he's going to sort of defer to the veteran and give him a long leash here, but we've seen load management. We saw him have an off night against Vegas, and the Canucks penalty kill kind of sputtered against the Golden Knights as well. That's an area where Noah Juulsen has been able to contribute. I just figured that it was a natural. And so kind of curious to see Friedman get a bump. And Juulsen, it was the first game for Mark Friedman, by the way, since that Anaheim game at the start of the last road trip, like going way back. I mean, the first time in a month that Mark Friedman had played. He didn't play much, saw a couple of shifts up front, did see a couple of shifts on defense as well. But I don't know if it was just like Tocchet's talked him up and has said, this guy's been the ultimate teammate. It's a tough situation, obviously. He's a hockey player, but he doesn't get to play very often. So I don't know if they were just throwing him a bone here against an opponent where maybe they figured they could spot him in. Whatever the case, when Phil DiGiuseppe has to sit again, Archdeep Baines comes out, Juulsen's a healthy scratch. Like, to me, I think you're getting your team's attention by playing a defenseman over other healthy forwards. And it's not just a message to the guys that are out of the lineup, but I think it's a message to the guys that are in the lineup as well, that others have to pick things up. Now, I do want to run through what I thought was a pretty dominant second period And part of the storyline continues to be that the Canucks don't finish their chances, because you can't sit there and say they didn't have opportunities. Like, we should salute Connor Ingram. I thought, you know, Coyotes goalie was busy. He had to make some saves, obviously, to keep his team in it once the Canucks opened the scoring. If they could get that next one, who knows where the game goes from there, but they couldn't get that next one. Wasn't for a lack of trying. And when I look at my notes, because it's funny, you and I were texting as the game, like, the first period had nothing. Like, there was nothing going on there. At one point, I tweeted out a photo of my notes that I keep as, you know, the game goes along, and I had nothing on my page. I had Connor Garland draws a tripping penalty on Nick Bjugstad early in the game, and the Canucks mounted, you know, one shot on goal. The power play didn't look great there. But really, after that, there wasn't a whole lot until the very late stages of the first period. Teddy Bluger shorthanded with Nils Amon. Bluger got a shot, and the rebound was there, and Amon had an opportunity, but there wasn't a whole lot going on. You know what surprised me with the first period? The stat sheet said the Canucks had 26 hits.
Yeah.
26 hits, and I texted you, and I said, like, do you remember any of them? Like, you know, the biggest hit in the hockey game easily was McBain on Pettersson. Canucks had 26 hits in the opening 20 minutes, and honestly, like, you know, finishing check, sure, but, like, was there one that sort of left a mark on any of the Coyote players? I'm not sure that there was.
This isn't a knock on the arena, but it might be. It's small. Any hit yeah. or run bump against the boards could be counted as a hit. I mean, you know, some of these NHL stats guys, they look at games and see games a lot differently, especially with the shot corrections that were also happening in this game as well. So that's one thing where I do wonder if the stats are kind of skewed just in that barn alone, because I don't think there was any way the Canucks should have had that many hits in the first period.
Just an aside, and we'll get back to this game in a sec, but it's funny because Dakota Joshua had 9 hits in Vegas on Tuesday night. And when I saw that, after we finished Rink Wide, and I was just kind of going through the stats page and the box score, and I was thinking, oh, is that a career high for him? And I looked, and he had 10 hits in a game against the Islanders earlier this year, the one that Quinn Hughes scored the winner, Bo Horvat's return to Rogers Arena. And I'm thinking, I don't remember a 10-hit night for Dakota Joshua. Like, double digits. You know, we used to all freak out when Luke Shen would get to 12. Like, it was a big deal. Anytime 10 hits in a hockey game? I don't remember that at all. I checked in with the Canucks PR department that does the game notes, and do you remember a 10-hit night for Dakota Joshua? As it turned out, the NHL did that hit audit, so that night against the Islanders, he left the building with officially 8 hits on the night, but the league went back and reviewed all the game film and all the hits, and they added 2 after the fact, so Dakota Joshua did have a 10-hit night, apparently, but 2 were added on at some point between November 15th and whenever they did that audit. So maybe they'll review this one and maybe the hits will be reduced. I don't know. But I just want to go through that second period because, again, there were a ton of scoring chances. Quinn Hughes came off the left side, sharp angle, but I think he saw some daylight and tried to fool Connor Ingram. Moments later, Ilya Mikheyev steals the puck and races away. And that's that Ilya Mikheyev that we've been wanting to see a lot more of. Used the speed. There was some anticipation there. Unfortunately, the hands don't catch up to the feet and really didn't make much of a move. It turned out to be a relatively easy save for Connor Ingram. But, you know, there was a flash at the very least from Ilya Mikheyev. So there was an opportunity there. Brock Besser was all alone in front of the net, got in behind the defense and the puck got to him. And, you know, he hasn't missed from that spot on the ice very often. Podkolzin, that scramble in the blue paint. He got hauled down. Like, how there was no penalty on that play, beyond me, but, you know, you want to see more of that. We saw the one rush in Vegas. You want to see Podkolzin get to the front of the net with the puck there. So there was a good chance there. Again, I keep saying Teddy Bluger. I don't know if he's ever going to score again, but Mikheyev set him up at the side of the net, and he had daylight, and unfortunately, not a lot of finish in that opportunity. So there were those chances. JT Miller on the power play off the rush. You don't see that kind of zone entry very often, but shot from distance, but he looked like he got a fair bit on it. Anyways, you know, my point is there's all those chances and they get out of the second period with just the 1-0 lead. So against better opponents, you can't let teams just hang around. You saw that against Anaheim on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, Connor Ingram played a hell of a hockey game
in
goal for the Arizona Coyotes. He had himself an absolute game. I mean, there's some great A scoring chances, and, you know, he was there to absolutely shut the door. The Vasily Podkolzin one, that's a hold in the NHL, And that's also a hold in the NFL, to be completely honest. Oh my goodness. I don't understand what the officiating was doing there. I mean, lots of questionable calls as well in a bigger picture. Yes, you got the win against the Arizona Coyotes, but these are the types of games where you have to bury your chances, especially if you're a team that's going up against the Vegas Golden Knights or a team that's going up against the LA Kings, where one goal is going to matter so much in the grand scheme of things. Not only that hockey game for the night, but also in a seven-game series, that one goal in that period where you absolutely dominate, you got to find a way, whether it's crashing the net, whether it's getting more bodies in front, whether it's doing something else, if it's hitting your leg and going in, a goal is a goal. But the Canucks need to find better ways to try and get that puck in the net. I mean, they're throwing everything at them. You're going to run into hot goalies, but you need to do more to try and get to just try and score more goals.
Yeah, and Dakota Joshua in the late stages of the third, just before Garland won it. Nice play by Garland to set up Joshua. Got to the front of the net, scored late the other day against Anaheim. Couldn't convert on that opportunity, but not a surprise the way that Garland's been playing here for the better part of a month. That he's the guy that comes through for the Vancouver Canucks, 18:09 officially the time of the game winner. Garland and Hughes, the goal scorers for the Vancouver Canucks. Dylan Gunther with his 13th of the year for the Arizona Coyotes. 2-1 is the final score. The Canucks' 47th victory of the season, 47-21-8. So they're up to 102 points with six games to go. They're in Los Angeles on Saturday night. Lots still ahead on this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver. We'll hear from the head coach and perhaps others as we get inside that locker room. We'll have our Rinkwide Vancouver 3 stars. We've got stat that stands out. We do that after every game. A little bit of listener feedback as well. We'll hear what the people had to think about this one. But hey, this is a special night, not as special as Saturday. But I want to take a moment right now to let people know that Rinkwide Vancouver is going live, starting with the Saturday night game in Los Angeles. We'll be in studio, and we will do this for the remainder of the regular season and, of course, building for the playoffs. People have been asking about this for a while. You know, when can I listen live? Why can't you guys stream this? Well, we've heard you, and this has been in the works for a while, and it's going to start on Saturday, and we are excited about this, or if you're going to be involved, not on Saturday, but certainly in games down the stretch and into the playoffs as well. So we will certainly send out links on our social channels. You'll know where to find us, and it'll be the same, basically the same podcast that we've been delivering all season long. But yes, we are incorporating a video component now so that we will stream the show. You can listen to us. You can watch us. We certainly hope that you'll interact with us, because that's a big part of what we want to do here moving forward in the new format. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, it's going to start Saturday. Hopefully go smoothly from there over these final six. And then we will be ready when the puck drops game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we will be doing this live after each and every postseason game for the Vancouver Canucks. So again, that's our big announcement. We're excited here. We hope you are as well. And looking forward to delivering a video version of Rinkwide Vancouver starting on Saturday night.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Thank Vancouver Canucks defeat the Arizona Coyotes by a score of 2-1. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Jeff and Irf with you here. You're going to hear from Connor Garland in a sec, but we always like to get Rick Tocchet's take on the game. He was fired up after the loss in Vegas. Need a little more emotion. We've certainly heard and felt emotion from the coach. Needed to see a little more of that from some of his players at T-Mobile, but he got a bounce-back performance. Again, the Canucks controlled this hockey game. They should have done a better job of putting the Coyotes away. We talked about that. But ultimately, they found a way to grind out a victory at the end, got the goal that they needed. Rick Tocchet not critiquing the victory too much, just happy with the 2 points and the performance that he saw from his team.
It was good. It was, you know, I thought we defended really well. It was a grindy type of game. You know what I mean? Also, a big goal by Garzer. I mean, he loves this building. He loves coming here.
Yeah, of course, Connor Garland, a former Coyote, Rick Tocchet, former head coach of the Coyotes. And I mean, I don't know if Canuck fans remember, but game 82 last season, Connor Garland, not just a hat trick, but he capped the hat trick with the OT winner. So this one looked like it might be going to overtime. Garland made sure that it didn't. But it's not like he played a lot of games at Mullet, because when he broke into the NHL, the Coyotes were still out in the valley in Glendale. But whatever the case, a couple of trips back there to the small rink on the campus of ASU, and something about it that brings out the best in Connor Garland.
Well, it's funny. He scored the goal. He looked at Quinn Hughes, and the camera showed him, and he said, "You bleeping know it." So, and he did it, said it a couple times. So you know he was fired up to play in this one. Obviously, the age-old, you know, guys playing in their old building, NHL revenge, all of that. Money on the board game. You know, there's some shekels on the board there for, obviously, the head coach playing, and he probably got the game puck after, so probably would have meant a little bit more. But, Connor Garland really likes playing in Arizona.
Well, unfortunately for him, that's it. At least for this season. But again, he'll see the Coyotes next week when they're back here at Rogers Arena. And that's one of those games. You know, we talked about that. If they're going to fend off Edmonton, and this was a good night on the scoreboard, the Canucks have to take care of the games against the non-playoff teams. They did a pretty good job on the homestand, but they've got Arizona next week. They still have Calgary that has to come back to Vancouver one more time. You know, and then obviously you've got the games against the Kings. You still have to go to Edmonton. You finish in Winnipeg. There were tough ones there, Vegas in Vancouver next week. But if you take care of those non-playoff opponents, again, the math at this late stage of the season, it's just going to be really, really tough for the Edmonton Oilers to come all the way back and pass them. And the Canucks have the tiebreaker with the Oilers. That's the other thing that, you know, you can look at the gap. It's 7 points, but in reality, it's 8 because the Canucks do hold the tiebreakers and will right through the end of the season. That's not going to change. So good night for the Vancouver Canucks. They get the win, the Oilers lose, and the Canucks able to extend their lead on second place in the Pacific Division. As for Connor Garland, I mean, obviously happy to score his 16th of the season, finished with 17 last year. So it'll be interesting to see where he tops out this time around. Hasn't been a 20 goal scorer yet in his first couple of seasons with the Vancouver Canucks. I'm not sure there's enough daylight with 6 games to go, but the way he's playing, maybe I shouldn't rule him out or bet against him.
Yeah, and it's who he's playing with. Yeah, he's on the ice a lot.
Here's Connor Garland after the game. Obviously, he's talking about the result and the fact that he was able to nail down the victory for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, that's a big win for us. You know, our kill did a great job for us all night. It's tough to get that last one, it's a tough penalty there, but I mean, it is what it is. You know, we rebounded, we played really well today, and we deserve to win that game, so it's nice to come out on top.
And there's Garland giving credit at the outset of that clip to the penalty killers. The Coyotes got their only goal on the power play, but the Canucks then had to kill again. And I know the Canucks weren't happy with that call. Was it Carconi that drove wide on Carson Soucy? You know, at the end of that opportunity, Quinn Hughes gets his stick in there, but I thought danger had passed by that point, and I'm not sure that that one was necessarily a penalty. You don't see Quinn Hughes take a lot of penalties in the first place, so 2 in the third period for the captain. The Coyotes torched them once, but the penalty killers did a nice job the second time around, and ultimately that did turn out to be a big moment in the hockey game.
No, absolutely. And I think when you look at it, I mean, Carson Soucy got beat wide all day long against the Arizona Coyotes. So it wasn't a banner night for him as well. Guys took him wide and that was the book early and they went to it often. But yeah, I mean, Quinn Hughes getting the stick kind of in there. It was like the Juulsen penalty against Anaheim where you put your stick there. Depending where the referee is, he's probably going to make the call whether you make contact or don't, even if it looks like it. The Canucks have been getting jobbed on calls left, right, and center. I agree with Canucks fans. I know why you're pissed. It is definitely something, and it's a thing that's happening. But the problem is, the more you complain about it if you're the team. The more you complain about it if you're the head coach, if you're the general manager, if you're Jim Rutherford, the officials start to hear this. And they're kind of, you know, they're the officials talk in the National Hockey League. And I'll kind of leave it at that a little bit.
Well, let's transition then to the three-star selection. The three stars are selected by the Coyotes broadcast team in the building. Connor Garland, Connor Ingram, and they couldn't come up with a third Connor, so they went with Quinn Hughes. You know, I think those are the right choices, with an honorable mention to Artur Silovs, who stops 20 of the 21 shots that he faced. So he wasn't the busier of the two goaltenders, but again, young guy thrown into a situation, and Silovs did his part here, and it'll be interesting to see Thatcher Demko back on the ice, and will come off LTIR on the weekend. Is there another start for Artur Silovs? When you look at the next couple of opponents, the Los Angeles Kings Saturday and then home to Vegas, if Demko's not back by next Wednesday against the Coyotes, maybe Silovs gets another opportunity, but this may be it for him for this season. And if so, certainly didn't do anything to hurt his stock within the organization. And, you know, we'll see where it goes in the offseason, what the Canucks do with their backup. That's all for, you know, down the road. But I think certainly an honorable mention for Artur Silovs here. But I like those three stars, Garland, Ingram, and Quinn Hughes, in that order.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. The honorable mention as well. The interesting thing for me, Jeff, just moving this forward a little bit, like if Thatcher Demko is able to back up on Saturday, then he's good enough to play.
Right.
Right. So then that would lead us to him probably getting the start on Monday. So that's why these next couple of days, he likely skates maybe on Thursday by himself. I know it's probably going to be a team day off, and then Friday full practice if they do have morning skate Saturday. So interesting couple of days. But back to Silovs, full credit, came in, did exactly what he needed to do, got this team 4 big points.
Yeah, and absolutely, that's worth monitoring. I mean, Friday's practice, is Thatcher Demko a participant? Is he healthy enough now after the one on-ice session in Vegas after an optional morning skate? You know, that's a good first start, but, you know, how quickly does he progress to getting involved in practice? I'd be surprised if he backed up, but you're right. Like, if a guy backs up, he has to be ready to go. And so I still think that, you know, it's probably Casey DeSmith in goal, and I would think Silovs is the backup. But again, certainly something to watch here on Friday. But yeah, after back-to-back games and some travel, Thursday will be a full team day off. I think the Canucks were heading directly to Los Angeles. They'll have their days off in L.A. rather than sticking around in the Phoenix area. But you heard Shorty and Ray talking. They've got a pretty good date on Thursday. Tea time with Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor a week out from those guys going and teeing it up at Augusta. So I will...
Murph and Ray.
Yeah, sorry. Well, we'll see if we get some stories on from those guys about how that ran. I hope they post a little bit to social at the very least, because great opportunity to tee it up with two of the top Canadians out there on the PGA Tour, who both call the Phoenix area home. All right, let's bring it back to hockey here. Still a fair bit to go here on the program. We've got the stat that stands out, listener feedback, and we will look ahead to that game on Saturday, the road trip finale in Los Angeles at crypto.com. 2-1, the Canucks defeat the Arizona Coyotes. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Vancouver Canucks defeat the Arizona Coyotes 2-1. As they play the middle game of this three-game road trip, loss in Vegas, the win down in the desert, and off to Los Angeles now after a couple of days of rest. They'll take on the Kings on Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Hey, before we do that, though, I want to remind you again, you can get your tickets for our celebration of the return of playoff hockey to Vancouver. It's a fundraiser for the Canadian Mental Health Foundation, as well in memory of our good buddy Jason Botchford, who passed away far too soon, and wouldn't he love covering playoff hockey for the Vancouver Canucks? But we're gathering at the Hollywood Theater in Kits on April the 20th. Doors at 1 o'clock. Program's going to start at 2. Media panels, a performance by the Matinee. Tickets are only $10, and you can get yours now at nationgear.ca. So do your part. Join us. It's going to be a lot of fun as we talk hockey and celebrate the life and times of Jason Botchford, a lot of his media colleagues, and we'll remember Botch and look ahead. And by then, we'll know who the Canucks are playing, and we'll be days away, obviously, from the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, we'll get to listener feedback in a sec, but I want to get to the stat that stands out, because so we've spent a fair bit of this broadcast And last night as well, talking about Quinn Hughes and all of his feats, he scores his 16th goal of the season. He sets up Connor Garland for the winner. So he's in on both goals for the Vancouver Canucks. And in doing so, has moved past Matthias Olin into solo second all time among Vancouver Canuck defenders. Alex Edler is the only guy ahead of him. And it's just crazy. Like, he's just getting started. He hasn't even played 400 games in the National Hockey League. And here he is now, up to 86 points on the season, 327 points for his remarkable career. So 409 is the number for Alex Edler. Could he get there next year? Yeah, I guess it's possible. If he has this kind of season again, yeah. I mean, I guess he could reel in Alex Edler. If not, then early the following season. Of course, good health will be a factor in all of that as well. But we marvel about him on a nightly basis, and then you roll out that sort of stat that does truly stand out. 327 points in 359 career games. We have never seen a defenseman like Quinn Hughes in 50-plus years of existence of the Vancouver Canucks organization.
No, and it's incredible because you look at it, and he is going to absolutely smoke Alex Edler's record when it's all said and done. I mean, he's only on his first big contract. He's going to be due for another one in a few years. And, you know, he's obviously going to make his big bucks then as well. But I've done a lot of these shows with you this season, Jeff. I think I'm the primary assist leader for you on these shows this season. But there hasn't been a night where we haven't talked about Quinn Hughes. And I think that that's one of the things that you look at it and a season as a total was the reason why I think he's a shoe-in favorite. He should win the Norris Trophy. But it's the model of consistency that he's gone about this season. He's there every single night. He's the captain of this team. Maybe some thought that there might have been a little more of added pressure. He's handled it with grace. And obviously, he's a guy in the room after tough losses and everything. So it's another record that he's going to like and think about it, obviously, when the season's over, maybe when his career's over. But you can bet that he's definitely only got one goal in his mind, and that's the playoffs.
Yeah, and we talked earlier about him, you know, as the Canucks MVP. I think nights like this one, where you said Eastern voters and people around the National Hockey League, if they stay up and they watch, or even if they see the highlights of that Connor Garland winner, you know, these are games where maybe he does cement the first Norris Trophy of his career. Obviously battling with Cale Makar, Evan Bouchard's had a nice run, Roman Josi has had a strong push to the finish in Nashville, but Quinn Hughes continues to lead all NHL defenders, adds to his total with a couple of points in this hockey game, and maybe, just maybe, you know, getting close to sealing the deal when it comes to that Norris Trophy that has eluded him to this point and, you know, had been on the cusp of the conversation, but he's in an era of so many good young National Hockey League defenders, and he is one of them. And this year, I am fairly sure that there hasn't been anybody at that position that has been better than Quinn Hughes. Want to dip into our listener feedback channels, as we always like to do here on Rinkwide Vancouver. And big Sven with a bit of a hot take here, but I like this one. So we'll start here. At some point in the next 3 years, Quinn Hughes is going to be a Hart Trophy finalist.
I mean, it's a bit of a reach. You look at the guys that are in front of them and the guys that are in it this year and the seasons that they're having. I mean, the Austin Matthews of the world, the Connor McDavids of the world. I get it. It would be very, very difficult for a defenseman to win that trophy. He undoubtedly is the most important player, the most valuable player to his hockey team. I'm just not sure if he's the most valuable player in the National
Hockey League. It's a hot take, though, and I like it. And certainly we'll continue to watch his progression and development. And
he'll get a vote.
But think, and we've talked about this, like the night that he scored the winner in overtime against the Islanders, and that was like November 15th, so 2 months into the season. But he left the building that night tied with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller for the league lead in scoring. Like, yeah, it was the team lead, but there was nobody around the league that had more points at that point of the season than Quinn Hughes. So he was keeping up with the big boys then and still has had this incredible run. So maybe a stretch to be a Hart Trophy finalist, but look, who knows? It just feels like the sky is the limit for this guy. Did you see what his brother Luke did on this night, by the way? Like that Rangers Island or Rangers...
Rangers-Devils game was right. Wild.
And so all the guys, I mean, look, just like Hartley and Torts and the Canucks and the Flames from a decade ago, five fights off the opening faceoff, four guys from each team get kicked out. So, you know, others are left to shoulder the load. Luke Hughes played 33 minutes of that hockey game, just a shade under 33 minutes. Quinn's high watermark for ice time in a game came in Calgary last season, a game that had overtime. Tyler Myers got kicked out, so they were down to five defensemen for much of the hockey game. I think it was 31-07. So already in his young career, Luke has set the Hughes brothers mark for ice time in a game in just under 33 minutes. Back to listener feedback. Colin says they got the goal when they needed it, something I hope carries over to that second season. Wasn't super pretty, but hey, a W is a W. Yerky says Pettersson and Mikheyev combining not to score an empty netter at Mullet Arena is very April 2024 of the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, Petey needs all the points he can get to get people thinking that he's, you know, back on track here. And Mikheyev, I don't know, Pettersson should have shot himself, but
it's hard. It was a harder play to make that pass than it was to shoot into the empty net. If you really go, like, if you really went and looked at it, because the angle that he had on his stick,
yeah.
And he looked, his body position was kind of looking towards the net. And then he flung it across the ice. I was like, this guy's just trying to get Mikheyev a goal.
Jay says Garland knew that he needed to have a bigger impact on the game than Gunther. Do you think Connor Garland was concerned with the exploits of Dylan Gunther?
I don't think Connor Garland gives a you-know-what about Dylan Gunther, to be completely honest. I really don't. I think he enjoys playing in Arizona. I think that's obviously a soft spot in his heart, but I really don't think he can.
Adam says Pettersson only has 5 points in five of the last 15 games. If he's not injured, then he needs to wake up before the playoffs if the Canucks have any chance of getting to round two. Yeah, again, this wasn't a breakout game by any stretch for Elias Pettersson, but as we said, he did have a point. I thought he had a decent start. In fact, the first shift of the game, that line got the puck in and able to work it around, and I thought they were going to open the scoring early. It didn't happen then, but ultimately the Canucks do win the hockey game. Pettersson in on the power play goal by Quinn Hughes midway through that second period. Hey, we started with a hot take. Let's finish with one. Colin says Silovs should start in Los Angeles on Saturday night.
I don't think it's going to happen. It would be an interesting, it would be an interesting story for sure. I mean, it's probably DeSmith's game. If Demko's healthy, maybe he does back up. But I think what we've seen, why we got to give the kid some more? And yeah, you know, what we've seen is it's been a nice story. He's got two wins. He's got the team 4 points. Let's not push it. Let's not push it. I mean, unless something crazy happens in the next, 48 hours here as we head into game time. But I don't think he's going to get the start, to be completely honest. But, you know, stranger things have happened, Jeff.
The Vancouver Canucks, as we said, off now until Saturday. The Kings are not. The Kings were winners at home against Seattle. This is interesting to me that Los Angeles still trying to reel in Vegas and even an outside shot of catching Edmonton, but it's kind of like if you don't think Edmonton can catch Vancouver, then you probably don't believe that the Los Angeles Kings can ultimately catch a team like the Edmonton Oilers. But the Kings don't leave the state of California for the rest of the regular season. Yeah. They have two road games. One of them is across town in Anaheim next week. The other is on Thursday night in San Jose. So they were at home to Seattle. Now they have to travel to San Jose. The game on Saturday will be 3-4 for them while the Canucks lie in wait. So, you know, in that regard, the schedule works in the Canucks' favor. They've been close in the last two games against the Kings. Kings full value for that 5-1 win back in late February. Then the Canucks beat them at crypto.com in that 2-1 overtime. Remember, Thatcher Demko made that incredible save off Alex Turcotte that truly was a game saver. Kings got the lead at Rogers Arena on the homestand, and the Canucks didn't do a whole lot to chip away, but ultimately got a late goal. 3-2 was the final there. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Canucks can get a lead and force the Kings maybe to adapt and adjust rather than allowing them to apply their stifling system. So, I'm not expecting fireworks and a ton of offense just because that's the way the Kings play and that's the way the Canucks are going here. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, if the Canucks can rise up and, you know, follow up this one with another win, come home with two of a possible three victories out on the road, I mean, that's a pretty successful road trip at this time of the season, and all wins obviously are big wins for the Canucks as they try to fend off the Oilers. So if they can go into Los Angeles on Saturday and get a victory, that will really set them up to lock up the Pacific Division.
No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, you have a couple of days off now, right? I mean, you get your full day off and then you have a practice day. I don't assume that Rick Tocchet is going to push his player, put his players through the paces. I think it's more so get the legs moving and things like that. So I'm excited for Saturday's game, right? I think it's another big tilt. It's another one that Canucks are going to have to get up for. The last big tilt that we built, they got smoked. So we'll see what happens in the City of the Angels.
Yeah, and as we announced earlier, we're going live. We're going to do it live. Saturday Night Live. Why not? This is a new chapter for us here at Rinkwide. So we're excited about that. Hopefully you'll check us out on video, the video version, of course, if you prefer to listen on podcasts. The show will still be produced and put out as a full podcast on all of our usual podcast platforms. So if you'd rather listen to it on your own time the next day or, you know, on your commute on Monday morning, whatever, it'll be there for you as well. We're just adding the video component and element, and or if you're going to be a big part of that, but it'll be Farhan Lalji of TSN will be my co-host and sidekick on our inaugural version, the video version on Saturday when the Canucks are in Los Angeles to take on the Kings. That's going to do it for us here on this episode. 2-1, they defeat the Arizona Coyotes. Connor Garland with the late goal after Quinn Hughes had scored on the power play, his 16th goal of the season, to open the scoring midway through the second period. For Irf and our producer Mike Rogerson behind the scene, this is Jeff Patterson. As always, thanks so much for listening to another edition of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.